to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you sister?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Where do I begin? There are so many stories out here. I'm going to do a couple of things. I want to talk about the men that were arrested. Remember how scared people were last week? Remember our government? We had Alberto Gonzalez on national TV talking about we've arrested someone. Remember, does this remind you of John Ashcroft? When he was in Russia, he was visiting Russia, and they broke into our news to tell us, we've arrested the shoe bomber. The world is safe again. The same thing with Alberto Gonzalez. Now help me with this. Help me with this. I got a copy of the indictment because, you know, that's the lawyer in me trying to make sense out of this. And the first line in the indictment is the word Al-Qaeda. So the curiosity part of me said, well, were these men Al-Qaeda? Did they pursue Al-Qaeda? What's the Al-Qaeda connection? The next word is jihad. Jihad. Okay. Then I read the counts. Count one, count two, count three. Not count Chocula. Count one, count two, count three. And the first count talked about from as least as early as in or about November 2005. Huh. Howard, what month is this? Is this June? This is June, right? This is June. November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, 7 months ago. They said on this date they did knowingly conspire, combine, confederate, and agree to provide material support and resources to a foreign terrorist organization, that is Al-Qaeda, by agreeing to provide personnel, including themselves, to work under Al-Qaeda's direction and control. Huh. So I looked at this, and one of the things that they did was that they pledged, the allegation is that they pledged an oath to Al-Qaeda and supported a mission of Al-Qaeda to destroy FBI buildings. When you read through this indictment, it's fascinating. The only person that professed to be Al-Qaeda was a government informant. These guys didn't go and pursue Al-Qaeda. A fake Al-Qaeda pursued them. Okay? And they said, we're soldiers. Give us some boots. So they gave them some boots. It's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. And we're going to talk more about that when I come back from this break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. I'll be back.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV, the puppy?
Here, Fido.
314-455.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Falkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's wrong, but we got to.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get this straight. On or about December 29th, 2005, Narissel Bastis, decided to take his plot, his detailed plot, to take down the United States, destroy the Sears Tower, and provide Al-Qaeda representative with another list of materials and equipment, which included radios. First request was a list of shoes for the purchase of military boots for his soldiers. It was right before Christmas, December 22nd. 2005. Then on December 29th, according to the indictment that was filed, he wanted radios, binoculars, bulletproof vests, firearms, vehicles, and $50,000 cash. What about bombs? I thought you were going to take down the business. Oops. I knew there was something else I needed to get. Don't you hate that? You go to the store and you think you have everything that you need, and you turn around and you're left without buying salt. Dog, I needed to buy the bomb. I knew I should have put that on the list. Oh, I hate that. Then on February 19th, 2006, so we go from we're in November, then we're to January, then we're to February. I want to attend Al-Qaeda a training. Then they said that on March 10th, 2006, Narcel Baptiste swore an oath of loyalty to Al-Qaeda. Did he ask for that? Or did the informant insist upon that? Don't you think that's a big deal? Which way it happened? Whose idea do you think it was to take an oath to Al-Qaeda? I would think it would be the informant, the plant, the person that's trying to make the case for the government. And the bigger question, the better question, the important question is, if this happened in November of 2005, why are we hearing about in June 2006? Oh, that's right. 2005, George Bush's ratings were a lot better than what they are right now. June 2006, it's time to, Karl Rove has talk about the indictments. Karl Rove is still the unindicted co-conspirator. And he's been given a get out of jail free pass. And so he's going old school. Let's scare the American public into understanding that the threat of terrorism is all around us, and the only person that can deal with the threat of terrorism is us. No, and you got it half right. The only people that can terrorize are you. So, what happened? Shouldn't they have gotten them after they indicted? They took an oath to Al-Qaeda? On March 16th, they decided where they were, according to the indictment, they decided a plot to bomb the FBI building was discussed. Why didn't they get him then? They'd already taken an oath. On March 16th, the rest of them took an oath to Al-Qaeda. Whose idea was that? On March 24th, they took photographs of the FBI building. Now, these are big bad terrorists, right? These are guys that are just out of control and want to take down the Sears building. Huh. And I guess just like a lot of folks, you know, you start out with all the intentions in the world to get the job done, right? And stuff happens. They started slowing down around March. March 26th. Okay, they discussed the Al-Qaeda plot. Or they discussed the plot with an Al-Qaeda representative. 12 days later, they had another meeting. And then they didn't meet again for a month. I guess after they got their boots and their camera, they were pretty much satisfied. And then on May 24th, the head terrorist, Narcel Baptiste, told the fake Al-Qaeda person, "I'm experiencing delays because of various problems within my organization, but I'm going to continue my mission and maintain my relationship with Al-Qaeda." So everything ended on May 24th. Why are we just now hearing about it? Why the big news? And then you hear things. When you peel back the stories that are going on about this so-called terrorist plot, Al-Qaeda, Alberto Gonzalez stressed that there was no immediate threat in either Chicago or Miami because the group did not have explosives or other materials that it was seeking. So there's no material threat. The FBI director, John Pistole, said this group was more aspirational than operational. Okay, so why now? Why is this a news story at all? A bunch of guys sitting around talking to your plant. Why was it? Given the secrets-keeping ability, instinct, actions of this administration, why would we have found out about this at all unless they wanted us to know about it, to whip it into something that it's not, to put some old-school black faces up there? Huh? We are confident that we have identified every person who had the intent of posing a threat to the United States. Here's a scary part from Alberto Gonzalez, though. What these men represent, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, they're homegrown terrorists who view their country as their enemy. Did you just get chills? This is what Alberto Gonzalez is saying. Who gets to pick who view their country as their enemy? How many, arrests of Klans people have you seen in the last few years? If we're talking about homegrown terrorists who view their country as their enemy, why haven't we seen any of them? Dolores.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. How many Klan people have you seen? Remember now, some years ago, they showed a film. A guy went undercover and showed a film of the Ku Klux Klan having all these meetings and teaching one another how to shoot the government and all of this. And you know what? They never arrested nobody.
And
this
they certainly
is amazing
didn't,
to me.
And they certainly didn't stop the news at any time or make this the first news story and get all these sound bites from all these people that, I'm so scared. No, you're not.
But Saturday, it was packed in there for that movie. Liz, that was the best movie.
You're talking about at Loose Change. Wasn't that wonderful?
Oh, my God. You might have to show that. Because I told my husband, I said, you need to have been there. It's too bad he had to work and couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Because I said, well, maybe Liz in the future will show that again. Because if you didn't see it.
We had about 200 people there. It was amazing. It was
but
amazing.
You know what? The point I was going to make Saturday was, remember when that first building, that plane hit that first building? I sat there and thought, I told the girl next to me, I said, now wait a minute, this plane hit this first building. It didn't fall right away.
That's right.
But if the second between
and I got to go, D. I got
and that second building.
Dolores, I got to go.
Oh,
I'll okay. Go. All
okay.
Right. Thanks for your call. We're taking a break. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have the right lane closed. Westbound 64 at 5570. Look for no problems to report there. Martin Luther King Bridge at McLeod's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic at the top of the ramp. Southbound Goodfellow at Greer is closed due to an accident involving an overturned vehicle. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's Tasty and Hearty Bacon, Egg, and Cheese Breakfast Burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's Classic Tots or Fries. regular coffee or soft drink, breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy, scattered showers today. By the afternoon, the high will be around 80 this evening. Partly cloudy, look for storms, possibly becoming isolated after midnight with a low around 60. For Tuesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers, a high around 80. And Wednesday, partly sunny, a chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Maple Temple Church of God in Christ presents its regular multimedia Sunday night radio broadcast at 8 o'clock every week here on WGNU. District Superintendent John Watson invites you to lift your spirit with prayer, preaching, teaching, and singing live from the sanctuary of Maple Temple, 5159 Maple Avenue. Catch the Maple Temple radio broadcast Sunday nights at 8 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Curran Events, where we encourage discussions for both sides of an issue. That way we can learn from each other. That's Jim Curran, Curran Events, Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Does it concern you that Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have been ripped off? Families USA is out with a new report that says drug makers raised the price of the 20 most prescribed drugs for seniors before Medicare Part D took effect, then lowered them to some degree afterwards, leading the Bush administration to brag about how wonderful Part D was in saving seniors big money. You've got to hear the mess behind Part D, Tuesday morning at 7, when Ron Pollock of Families USA joins Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Real life, on the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I do want to thank everybody who came out Saturday morning to watch Loose Change. It was amazing, wasn't it? We had about 200 people that came out to take a look at the film. We probably going to have to show it again. Dolores is probably right. We will have to show that again. It was amazing. There's so many things that we think that we already had in our mind about what went on in 9/11. But when somebody puts it together in the complete and concise and amazing way, it was amazing. It was amazing, and I want to thank all of you for coming out. It was a wonderful gathering. It was wonderful. It was good to see people out, and it was good to see people, how concerned people are about what's going on in our in the world that we live in. So thank you all for coming out. We'll have to do it again. We will have to do it again. We will be meeting, of course, this Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. We will have extra copies of the film Loose Change at 1020 North at the Urban Institute this Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. So you'll be able to pick up a copy if you didn't get a chance to see the film. Oh boy. Honestly, I think that even someone like me, I am in the business where I'm looking at news every day. And I'm reading what's happening out here every day. Even I am, numb. I have to fight off being numb from all of the stories that are coming out. Okay, they're spying on our phones. We had the American Friends Service on the show last week to talk about how they're spying on us. That's surveilling us. So they're spying on our phones, which means that they're listening to our phone conversations. They're following us around. That means they're surveilling us. And now they're looking at our bank records. And the press, I guess poll numbers make everybody act a little bit differently. Poll numbers make people act a little bit differently because the press decided that they were going to tell the story even though the White House didn't want it. New York Times LA on Friday published a major story on governmental surveillance of private banking records. And the Bush administration said, you can't tell this. The same team that produced the Pulitzer Prize-winning NSA domestic spying program story, they put together the New York Times piece. In the middle of the article, they say that the White House had asked the paper not to run it. And when they, unlike what the papers did with the NSA spying, they put off that story. The press put off that story for a year. This time they said, no, bump that. We rolling. Bump that. And here's what the White House spokesman said. We know the terrorists pay attention to our strategy to fight them. Like the ones that you arrested last week that got boots from a fake Al-Qaeda plant. Those terrorists. Now that terrorists know that they're spying on my bank records. Ooh. They're going to do something differently. Now, we know the terrorists pay attention to our ability to our strategy to fight them, and now they have another piece of the puzzle of how we're fighting them by spying on my records. I think the terrorists are straight. I think they're cool. They're going to be all right. They're not going to slow their roll knowing that American bank records are not safe, that our government spies on us. The president is concerned that once again the New York Times has chosen to expose a classified program that is working to protect our citizens. Shut up. You know what? Oh, kiss my grits. The story says that the Bush administration has made no secret of its campaign to disrupt terrorist financing. Bush, Treasury officials, and others have spoken publicly about these efforts. Administration officials, however, asked the New York Times not to publish the article, saying that the disclosure of the program could jeopardize its effectiveness. And they also went and got some Democratic hacks and some Republican hacks to vouch, paid hacks. The newspaper said, "We weighed the government's arguments carefully, but in the end we determined that it was in the public interest." Wow, what a concept. The public interest. "To publish information about the extraordinary reach of this program. It is part of the continuing national debate over the aggressive measures employed by the government." How does the New York Times open up their story? How do they open up their story? "Under a secret Bush administration program initiated weeks after the 9/11 attacks, counterterrorism officials have gained access to financial records from a vast international database and examined banking transactions involving thousands of Americans and others in the United States, according to the government and industry officials." I'm glad they've told. So, did they lead the dogs out? Did they let the dogs out? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Front page of the New York Times. Dick Cheney attacks the press. Go figure. What are the odds of that? He came out of the bunker, blinked at sunlight, because he doesn't get to see a whole lot of that. Opened his mouth to about, I don't know, a quarter of an inch sideways. He snarled out of his half-open mouth through his thin lips, pursed tightly, and snarled at the press. "What I find disturbing about these stories is the fact that some of the news media take it upon themselves to disclose vital national security programs." Nobody paying attention to you. Why don't you go hunting and shoot one of your friends in the face and the heart and just do what you do. Go do what you do. He's telling us, the king of secrets, the man that lives in a bunker, who comes out only periodically to snarl at us. Remember that big old whopper he told during the election? During the election. That he had never seen John Edwards before, never met John Edwards before. Remember that? Remember that old lie he snarled at us? Big old whopper. Met him 3 times. Nobody paying attention to what you have to say. But he came out to do his gig, to snarl at us. They don't need to know anything. We got this. 1-877-920-WGNU is the phone number. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Yes, we do. And I'm not done here. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Leora Daniels, and I invite you to join me every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 for good gospel music and church news on the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Start your Saturday off right with me, Leora Daniels, and the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
Be an angel. Wear your heart on your sleeve and buy an Angel of Change wristband for you and your sweetheart. Your $2 donation for each wristband purchase supports services for children and adults with disabilities in our community. For more information, call Easter Seals at 636-227-6030 or toll free at 1-800-664-5025. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. Word from the computer security industry that the recent rash of data thefts could be another part of the federal government's data mining efforts. Some of the most recent data thefts reported are as follows. Humana Medicare Program, 17,000 name list. Union Pacific Railroad, 30,000 name list. Oregon Revenue Department, 2,200 tax records. Visa USA, financial data on millions of people. Texas Student Loan Corporation, 1,300,000 current and former students. And the Department of Veterans Affairs, 28 million names. In addition to these, another 30 million Americans had their personal information compromised from three major banks, Citigroup, Bank of America, and SunTrust. That happened sometime this spring. A former government agency headed by Reagan advisor John Poindexter developed a monitoring program called the Total Information Awareness System back in the late 80s. It was designed to access information on financial, medical, employment, communications, and other records of both Americans and foreigners. That program was supposed to have been canceled, but it's been given new life by Homeland Security and the NSA. And there is some thought that these recent data thefts could be connected to that program. Word has also come out this week that files on 40,000 state employees in Hawaii have now disappeared. And there is a further report circulating that the FBI has been given the word to put the brakes on looking into any of these identity theft cases for some reason. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
People, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Today the Supreme Court's going to be talking about doing something significant. They're going to be taking up the issue of race in schools. School officials in Berkeley, California, take race as well as parents' income into account as they assign students to public schools, with the result that many black children who live in downtown are bused to classes in mostly white neighborhoods. In Lynn, Massachusetts, authorities guarantee that children can attend their neighborhood school, but they consider race when weighing children's transfer requests, sometimes blocking those that would increase racial imbalance. In Louisville, the school board uses race as a factor in a student assignment plan to keep the enrollments roughly in line with the district's overall racial composition, making this the most thoroughly integrated urban school system in the nation. The Supreme Court is going to decide this month to review the cases involving race and school assignment programs in Louisville and in Seattle. Over the past 15 years, courts have ended desegregation orders in scores of school districts. But many districts around the country seek to maintain diversity with voluntary programs like magnet schools, magnet programs, clustering plans that help group schools in black neighborhoods with those in whites, weighted admission lotteries that assign classroom seats by race. I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know how I feel about it. When I see space in programs in the city left open in magnet programs, waiting for white kids to come, I don't like the idea of busing black kids out to white school districts because I don't like that. Most school districts believe that there are educational benefits in having students attend schools with students of different backgrounds. I don't know. I'm not certain how I feel about this. Many of the nation's largest urban districts have so few white students that large-scale plans to seek racial balance are hardly feasible. New York, 14% of the students are white. They don't consider race in school assignments. The only exception is Mark Twain Intermediate School in Brooklyn, where a 1974 court order requires that the school's racial demographics be kept in line with the surrounding middle schools. In Louisville, Jefferson County in particular, the boundaries of this school district include suburbs as well as the urban core. 60% of the students are white, 30% are black. In the assignment plan, which involved from a court-ordered DSEG plan, keeps black enrollment at most schools in the range of 15% to 50%. And in some cases, obliging white students to attend schools in black neighborhoods and vice versa. Fran Ehlers and her husband are writers who are white. I don't know why they said they're writers. They live in Highlands neighborhood east of downtown, but they enrolled their children, Jack and Zoe, at the Coleridge Taylor Montessori Elementary School in the largely black West End. We wanted a diverse environment. When I toured Collar Taylor, I was struck by the mix of white and black children quietly working together as equals in a classroom. Nichelle Crawford, by contrast, who was African and lives in the West End, said her sons Keon and Jaron could attend Coolidge Taylor, but she opted to send them to Wilder Elementary in a largely white suburb 25 minutes away by bus. The boys love Wilder, saying that there are a number of international students. They have different opportunities and see different faces. Huh. Judge John Hyburn at the federal court ruled against Crystal Meredith. Crystal Meredith is the plaintiff in this case. She is white. She sued the district after that they denied her request to transfer her son Joshua from Young Elementary in the West End to Bloom Elementary near her home. The district said that the transfer would disrupt the Young Elementary's racial balance. Judge Hyburn of the federal court ruled against Meredith, saying that the district had shown a compelling interest in maintaining integrated schools. A federal appeals court upheld the ruling. In a interview, Gordon, the father, predicted that if the Louisville school assignment plan was overturned, the schools would rapidly resegregate. But that should be of no concern. We're a diverse society, a multi-ethnic society, a colorblind society. Race is history. Race is history. You know what? I didn't get the memo. I'll have to check when I get back. Maybe they emailed it to me. I need to check my email during this break. My concern is that it's not the issue of segregation. I don't think it's ever been the issue of segregation. I think that it's been the unequalness of the school districts. Black schools didn't get the same tax money the white schools got. I think that has been the issue. If we funded all the schools the same, I think that the educational process and the educational system would do well by children of African descent. These are extraordinary times that we're living in, folks, and the Supreme Court is going to take this issue up. What are they going to decide? What are they going to decide? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to attend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That is my number. Get up. Get to me. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me.
Enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Well, it may have been a costly lesson for Monica Smith, who lives in waterlogged Armstrong City, Pennsylvania, one of the places hit hard by days of heavy rain across the mid-Atlantic states. ABC's David Curley says it's a mess this morning in and around Washington.
Constitution Avenue, more like a river than a main thoroughfare in the nation's capital, gushing with water, stranding passengers. In nearby Montgomery County, Maryland, emergency teams used boats to rescue more than 40 people trapped in a community center.
There's more rain in the forecast today, but the worst of the system is heading up the East Coast. New England, you're next.
This storm system has had a history of producing flooding as it's moved over the mid-Atlantic states and into the Northeast. It's not going to be necessarily Boston and Hartford that are under the gun as we come into the day. It's going to be mainly interior New England. And because the rain just re-rains over the same areas, that's where we have the potential for flash flooding.
ABC meteorologist Heidi Jones. The problem across the West, a lack of rain. Fires are burning in several states, including a big one in northern Nevada that shut down two sections of Interstate 80. In the Pacific Northwest, a heat wave could push highs today in parts of Washington State to nearly 100 degrees. A meeting of the minds and the money today in New York. Billionaires Warren Buffett and Bill Gates will appear together. Both are now saying that they're giving away most of their fortunes to charity. Businessweek's Jim Ellis says this ups the ante for charitable giving big time.
Two richest men in the United States basically saying we're not going to do it the traditional way. We're not going to wait and give money away after our deaths. And instead, we're going to throw it behind causes where we think we can make a big difference.
Buffett will give most of his money, he says, to the Gates Foundation. It still costs a small fortune to fill your car, but it may cost you a few pennies less depending on where you are. The latest Lundberg survey says the average price of a gallon of gas is down slightly to about $2.89 a gallon. This is ABC News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
ABC's Charles Gibson. For 19 years, he started your day, opened your eyes, brightened your morning. Now, be there this Wednesday as Good Morning America celebrates Charles Gibson's move from morning to world news tonight. Join Diane Sawyer, Robin Roberts, and Good Morning America for a morning TV celebration 19 years in the making.
Charlie, this is simply the best. Simply the best.
Don't miss the last time Charles Gibson says,
Good Morning America.
This Wednesday, 7 a.m., only on ABC.
Wimbledon begins today. It's the last time American tennis legend Andre Agassi will play at the event. He says he'll retire after the U.S. Open later this summer. ABC's Tom Rivers has a preview from the All England Club.
For the Americans, this year at Wimbledon looks tough, but hope springs eternal for fans like Bob Barber from Pennsylvania, who says Andy Ruddock must find a new gear.
He's played well here the past couple years, but he keeps running into Federer, and, you know, he's got that Federer block, so...
Yeah.
Questions whether he's up this game or not.
On the women's side, Venus Williams will be trying to recapture that old center court magic to repeat as champ. Tom Rivers, ABC News, Wimbledon.
Think computers are slowly taking over our lives? If you do, you may not want to hear about this, but if you can't get enough interaction with your PC, this could be good news to you. Experts say we're only a few years away from computers that can read our minds, or at the very least, our facial expressions, a nod of the head, or maybe a twitch of the eyebrow. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
In this WGNU News update is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Taking a look at the news this hour, a Cincinnati man is in custody in St. Louis County on a stalking charge. Police arrested 53-year-old Richard Doolin Friday night at Westfield Shopping Town, West County. Doolin is accused of repeatedly calling, following, and threatening harm to a woman and her boyfriend. Doolin is being held on $10,000 bond on a charge of aggravated stalking. Elsewhere, a Troy, Missouri man is charged with stealing from a donation jar meant for the family of a fallen officer. Last October, 39-year-old Daryl Moses allegedly stole money from a donation jar at an Earth City convenience store. The jar had been placed there for the family of Highway Patrol Trooper Ralph Tauschen, who was killed in a crash last year. Moses is charged with misdemeanor stealing under $500 and is being held on unrelated charges in Lincoln County. In Illinois, West Nile virus activity is reported to be ramping up. Last week, four more counties reported positive test results for the virus. Public health officials say the mosquitoes that carry West Nile do well in hot, dry weather. So far this year, 17 Illinois counties have reported West Nile activity. That's up from 14 counties at the same time last year. No human cases have surfaced in Illinois yet this year. And finally, a team of St. Louis scientists is reporting a breakthrough in Alzheimer's disease research. The team from Washington University School of Medicine has developed the first way to safely monitor the production of a key protein in the development of Alzheimer's disease. The new process could lead to improvements in the diagnosis and treatment of Alzheimer's. And that's a WGNU News report brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Regions Bank. 270 northbound from Gravois to Big Bend. Look for slow traffic. 5570 westbound. There are two lanes closed at the Poplar Street Bridge. Just stop and go from the 64 merge at this hour. Slow traffic 70 eastbound from K to 79. Delays are possible from 44 eastbound from the Merrimack River Bridge to 270, and traffic is building 40 westbound at 15th Street all the way into the 5570 merge. Highway 40 westbound from McCausland to Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. 170 southbound and northbound from Forest Park Parkway all the way into Ladue Road, look for slow traffic due to reduced roadways this hour. That is the look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Regions Bank. It's your money not working hard enough for you? Get a better rate on your money market account from Regions Bank and our relationship money market. Come by any branch or call 1-800-REGENS to see how your money can work harder. Regions Bank, member FDIC. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy, scattered showers possible this afternoon. High around 80 this evening. Partly cloudy, scattered showers are possible. Low around 60. Tuesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers. High around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers. High in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 61 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I say?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. I've heard a lot of things, a lot of statements about how the Republican Party is different than the Democratic Party. I've been thoroughly disappointed in many respects with some of the things that are going on with the Democratic Party. But there are some things that you need to understand the direction that the Republicans are going in. Despite the inaction or despite the lack of organization or despite some of the things that the Democrats are doing. These things are happening despite them. So let's take a minute to dissect, to talk about, to engage in conversations about the Republican Party and who they are. What can the Republicans point to after 2 years, after 6 years in office, as their accomplishments? What can they point to? To something that impacts your life. They came to us and said that they were going to bring Social Security reform, right? They said that they were going to help seniors with Medicaid, with cost of prescription drugs. The only thing that they can point to as that they successfully have done, and successful I mean by passed legislation, because that is the goal of every legislator, to pass legislation or to keep good legislation in place. What have they done to pass legislation? Oh, yeah, tax cuts for those that got more than you'll ever have. They passed tax cuts for Exxon. They passed tax cuts for McDonald's. They passed tax cuts for Walmart. You get yours? I don't know. It's hard to decide where to spend that $300, isn't it? They also they've attempted to come to bring the issue of it to define themselves by immigration. Check this out. They've defined themselves by immigration. They define themselves by adhering to this awful war, relentless war forever and ever again. Amen. Hundreds of thousands of people dead or injured. Millions of people suffering. So what's the latest thing to come out of the Republican camp? Check this out. A Republican gubernatorial candidate. That means somebody's running for the governorship, y'all. Gubernatorial candidate. How hard is he running for this? The nephew of Senator Barry Goldwater called for, are you ready for this? The creation of a forced labor camp for illegal immigrants. That's the nephew of the late Senator Barry Goldwater. We're taking a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
For the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
With John Cena.
This is Christopher Gagnon.
This is Paul Heyman.
Hello, this is Jeff Jarrett.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Samoa Joe.
Hey, this is Batista.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle.
Hey, hey, it's the alpha male, Monty Brown.
And this is Brian Sell with a reminder for you to tune in each and every Tuesday at 6:30 for The Stranglehold, the only professional wrestling radio show in St. Louis, Tuesday night, 6:30 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up Wednesday morning at 10 on Sorted Out with Lori and Claire, our guest will be Sheila Delson of the National Study Group on Chronic Disorganization.
Chronic disorganization is having a past history of being unorganized, in which self-help efforts to change have failed. Their problem interferes with the quality of their daily life or negatively affects their relations with others. We will be discussing with Sheila how people who have chronic disorganization can overcome these challenges.
That's Wednesday at 10 on Sorted Out with Lori and Claire.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Does it concern you that Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have been ripped off? Families USA is out with a new report that says drug makers raised the price of the 20 most prescribed drugs for seniors before Medicare Part D took effect, then lowered them to some degree afterwards, leading the Bush administration to brag about how wonderful Part D was in saving seniors big money. You've got to hear the mess behind Part D, Tuesday morning at 7, when Ron Pollock of Families USA joins Liz Brown here on The Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know.
Oh, yes it will. Oh, well. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Mr. Barry Goldwater's nephew, forced labor camps.
That is correct.
Can you say Nazi Germany?
Yep.
How do you think that started?
Yep.
They started a little with those camps by putting dissidents in, people that they didn't like, who talked against their administration. This is right out of the Nazi playbook.
Yes, it is.
And I wonder how long they've had this in the back of their head. And I was waiting for something like this to come out, but I thought, oh, I was just being excessive in my thoughts. Amazing, isn't it?
Calling for concentration camp, forced labor.
Forced labor. Forced well, that's labor. What it was in Germany.
That's exactly what it was.
When they built the Autobahn in Germany, they had forced labor.
That is correct.
People who were unemployed were forced to work on the Autobahn.
That is correct. Started small.
Right out of the Nazi playbook, hon.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you for bringing that up.
All right. For those of you that just joined, may have just joined us, there is a Republican gubernatorial candidate, the nephew of the late Senator Barry Goldwater, is calling for a forced labor camp for illegal immigrants. They call it actually a concentration camp for migrants, actually, is what it is. He's a candidate for governor in Arizona. He said that his opponents have taken his comments out of context. I didn't say Nazi. Whoo! He said that he was calling for a work program for convicted nonviolent felons, similar to tried and tested, effective and accepted practices by state and local jails. Goldwater said, and I quote, "Build us that wall now," talking to the proposal for 700-mile offenses. He promised then if he was elected, he would put illegal immigrants in a tent city on the border and use their labor to build the wall. The son of the late Barry Goldwater. And in efforts to have full disclosure here, two GOP lawmakers have said that Senator McCain and Representative Jim Colby have called Goldwater's comments deeply offensive. And they've asked state Republicans to reject his candidacy in the September 12th primary. He's one of yours. He's one of yours. As is Goldwater, Don Goldwater. He says that he wants to hold undocumented immigrants in camps and use them as labor in the construction of a wall and to clean the areas of the Arizona desert that they're polluting. Question. What businesses are you holding responsible to clean the areas of America that they're polluting? He's a Republican. He's one of yours. 1-877-920-WGNU. Maurice.
Good morning, Mrs. Brown.
Good morning.
That's interesting because in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken.
Could you speak up a little bit?
I said that's interesting because in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, there is a sheriff that's doing something very similar. Sheriff Prill, he has tent cities built out in the desert. And he's housing his inmates out in the desert in 100-plus degree heat. He's forcing them to do all type of basically chain gang labor. He's basically making them pay for their own food. And There has never been anything said about this. This guy's been reelected many times, and people in Arizona are applauding this guy.
And what's his name?
Aprio. I've seen his, they've done different stories on him. And I think he's been on 60 Minutes before, and a couple other talk shows. And they're saying, like, the toughest, they call him the toughest sheriff in America.
And this is the toughest sheriff in America. He has concentration camps in Arizona.
In the desert. Yeah.
In the desert.
And he makes them wear, like, pink underwear. That's his big thing.
He makes them wear pink underwear. He has a concentration camp for them out in the desert in Arizona.
Yeah. That's his claim to fame.
Right.
You know, he said, I'm going to make it so tough that I never want to come back. You know, I'm thinking, like, you know what, man? This is torture.
Absolutely.
This is torture. This is not your right to torture anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, but, you know, apparently, you know, they get on board with it. And as far as the Republicans and, you know, what they've done, you know what? They've done a lot for their constituents. And if you wonder who their constituents are, who's benefited from them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the corporations in that top 1%,
mm-hmm.
they've had a windfall since they've been in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you get anybody to call in, and I've seen this on many talk shows, there's a lot of talk shows on 920, where you've had people call in and say, you know what, those Republicans or that administration or Bush, you know, I really like what he's did against that gay marriage thing, and I have a hard time listening to some of these people, and I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be real.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Not to worry. I know there are a lot of you out there that don't worry. Stop worrying about the Republicans. They're going to be all right because this week they're going to take up the flag burning proposal. Because out of all of the things that are going on in your life, high gas prices, can't pay for medications, job insecurity, no more pension funds, can't afford to take a plane ride anywhere, all of the stuff that impacts your life. How about, can I get a shout out from Louisiana? How's your world going on down there in New Orleans? The Gulf Coast. Y'all all back up to speed. Not to worry. George Bush and the Republican Party are taking up flag burning. And you know what? Every Democrat who votes for this amendment that doesn't just turn around and turn their back on it, y'all need to clown on them. Out of all the stuff to be involved in, flag burning. Flag burning. Oh, and I have a picture of George W. Bush. This is all about desecration of the American flag. I have a picture of George W. Bush signing, autographing an American flag. Huh. 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 These are amazing times that we live in, where all we get are these fake Patriot Acts. One Patriot Act criminalizes all of us, and another Patriot Act doesn't mean nothing, doesn't impact on any of us. Fake patriots giving us fake patriotic acts. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Advil Arthritis. 5570 westbound at Poplar Street Bridge. Stop and go traffic from the 64 merge due to two lanes closed for paving operations. Slow traffic from 270 northbound from Gravois all the way into Big Bend. 70 eastbound from K to 79, look for slow traffic. 44 eastbound from Merrimack River Bridge to 70, look for delays possible. The King Bridge between 5570 split and Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic from the westbound side. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh to McKnight, look for traffic building this hour. Northbound Route 3 at the top of the ramp all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge, expect some delays. 170 at Forest Park Parkway in Ladue, look for roadways reduced to 2 lanes, and that creates a little bit of a slowdown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Advil Arthritis. You don't just need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy, scattered showers this afternoon, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy, showers possible, low around 60. Tuesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers, high around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies. Our current temperature sits right at 64 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 64 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Thursday, June 29th, when my guest will be author Morris Berman. We'll be talking about his new book, Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. That's the Sloan Ranger Show, 5 p.m. Thursday, June 29th, only on WGNU.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be Mondays at 9, of course, and we're going to be talking about the use of ACE inhibitors by pregnant women causing birth defects, and our good government knew about it. Evelyn Pringle, the investigative journalist for Op-Ed News, will be on the show to talk about that story. And in the next hour, we're going to be talking about the Rachel Corrie story. We've talked about a Rachel before, but there's an update. Rachel was killed by a Caterpillar tractor. And she was killed when she was working in Israel. And she was peacefully demonstrating about the treatment of the Palestinians. She was killed by one of these tractors, Caterpillars. And there is an action going on to try to divest Israel from their relationship with Caterpillar. So we'll be talking to Matt Gaines from Stop Cat to talk about the recent what's happening in the case of Rachel Corrie, the American activist who was killed by a bulldozer. That's in the next hour. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And for those of you that don't know all about our Justice for Reggie campaign, the meeting will be tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books. Legacy Books is 5240 located at 5249 Delmar. That's Delmar and Union. There is going to be a meeting and a discussion of the American Justice's segment on the Chain of Rocks bridge tragedy. So you don't want to miss that. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Bookstores. That's 5249 Delmar. And you also can drop off your completed petitions at Legacy Books. That's today. That's today at 7 o'clock. And it's really it'll be really interesting for folks, now that you know about what's going on with Reggie, to watch and see how the story is told about him. There will be a discussion, so you need to be there tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books. That's Union and Natural Bridge, 5249 Delmar. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. One of the things I think that has not been discussed, and I think that sorely needs to be discussed, some people are, you know, when Zakawi was killed by a bomb, some people are saying that, and I for one of them, that Al Zakawi should have been arrested and prosecuted rather than bombed into oblivion. And it's fascinating. We live in this world, in this society, at this time, in this place, where people that want people that are accused of doing horrible things to be brought to justice. And justice today appears to be at the end of a bullet or underneath a bomb. There are Americans out there right now listening to the sound of my voice that are comfortable in taking the position that why would we wait for trial when it's just as easy to bomb him into oblivion? And they cannot conceive of anything that would make any sense other than bombing him into oblivion. They can't think of anything that would make any sense other than that. Well, how about this for a reason? maybe we don't bomb Zakawi into oblivion because we're trying not to kill a 5-year-old girl along with him and her family and everybody else around them. Would it have been acceptable collateral if a bomb had been dropped on America to get at one of the bin Laden's relatives instead of flying them out as we did after 9/11? And hundreds or thousands of Americans died in the bombing effort of that. Would that have been acceptable collateral? I think not. Charles.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
We already have a precedent for that right here locally when a passenger in a car, a Jack-in-the-Box, was killed because the driver supposedly was trying to assault the police with the car.
With the car.
Yeah. I thought about
it. And then all of the information.
A bus driver with a busload of people accused of that. Would they shoot the whole busload of people? But anyone I called for. Do you know, what do you know about unemployment compensation?
Okay, you need to make it clearer, Charles. What's your point?
Oh, okay. They have some rules set up in this unemployment compensation here in Missouri where they can just arbitrarily make a rule and the people that's on under this program have no choice in the matter. They started off with this so-called waiting week. I never understood what this waiting week was for. You apply for the unemployment insurance, and that first week that you apply, that goes back somewhere, and they call it a waiting week. And then after first of all, you have a waiting week, and then you get two checks on the third week. Well, then they changed it to, after 9 consecutive weeks of unemployment, you get that waiting week. They changed the rule again. Now, there's a waiting week, but you don't get it any. You don't get it. And that can amount to millions of dollars. And I don't understand how this can come about, and is anybody else affected by this, and who comes up with these rules?
Well, legislators are the ones that make the laws and the rules. That's where they come from. That's why it matters who we elect.
Legislators, or is this just bureaucrats sitting there? And what happens to the money?
Legislators make the rules. Bureaucrats work under them and sometimes enforce them. And I cannot answer the question of where. I imagine that the money goes. The money doesn't come out of general revenue anymore. I don't know for sure. But I'm sure it was as a cost-cutting measure.
It's always the poor people, the one that needs, you know, people that apply for unemployment insurance, they need the money themselves.
Absolutely. Thank you, Charles.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. I have an interesting story to tell you about Jiffy Lube when we come back. A sting operation at Jiffy Lube's. Huh? You think that you're getting the services that you're paying for? No, you're not. No, you're not. Fascinating story about Jiffy Lube when we come back. And don't forget, Justice for Reggie campaign meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be at Legacy Books. Legacy Books 5249 Delmar. And there will be a viewing and a discussion of American Justice's segment on the Chain of Rocks tragedy. It's always great to watch stuff and then have a wonderful discussion afterwards. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books, Justice for Reggie campaign meeting. Bring your petitions. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
The time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Greetings, St. Louis. For a fresh approach on the local sporting scene, check out The Oliver Show, Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. A new treatment option for sex offenders in Great Britain is being received with controversy. Pedophiles and other sex offenders will be given Prozac to try and keep them from committing more similar assaults. Some 100 prisoners are scheduled to take part in the trial applications to test how effective the drug will be in suppressing uncontrollable sexual urges. The generic form of Prozac is called Fluoxetine, and it's already used in the United States to treat sex offenders, but it's most effective with a small minority that have obsessive thoughts. This development comes at a time when government officials are under pressure to provide more protection for children from sex abusers in Great Britain. And Dateline Yaoundé. Officials in Cameroon are launching a campaign to try and put an end to a potential health crisis called breast ironing. This practice has young girls having their developing breasts massaged and beat on with hot objects in order to prevent them from growing. Over one-fourth of girls in Cameroon who are of puberty age have this practice done to them. Local customs dictate that if the breasts are kept flat, the young girls will be protected from the sexual advances of boys and men who are said to believe females become ready for sex once their breasts begin to swell. One woman recalled her painful experience as her mother used a large wooden paddle heated in a fire to pound on her breasts while she was lying down. She then took a heated coconut shell and rubbed them in an ironing fashion. Medical authorities say not allowing breasts to develop naturally in young girls can damage the tissues and possibly hasten the chances of cancer. In addition, the practice of breast ironing does nothing to prevent pregnancy or disease. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
Hi, this is George Cotton.
And this is Syl Wilson.
Hey, tune us in every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m.
for The Real Deal with George and Syl.
That's right, every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. We'll see you there.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Before we see
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. It's every customer's nightmare. You take your car in for an oil change. The guy goes down the checklist of the things that they have done, and they charge you $60, right? But did they actually do what they said that they did? They said they changed the oil filter, did they? I mean, the fuel filter, did they? They said that they flushed the transmission, did they? Huh. Tipped off by a Jiffy Lube insider, the NBC affiliate in L.A. wired two test cars with hidden cameras to watch Jiffy Lube mechanics at work. Those cars were then driven to a Los Angeles area Jiffy Lube to get an oil change. At one, the mechanic recommended that the fuel filter be changed. We paid up, but they didn't change the fuel filter. We know that because before taking our car in, we lowered the gas tank so we could mark the fuel filter. After leaving that Jiffy Lube, we checked the fuel filter, and the original one that was marked was still in the car. At another Jiffy Lube outlet, the manager recommended a top-of-the-line transmission flush. Now, it's what the machine called the T-Tech. They're supposed to hook up to the transmission line under the car to suck out all the dirty fluid. But the entire time the car was being serviced, we noticed that no one ever touched the fancy T-Tech machine. And the hidden camera showed that no one ever touched the transmission lines underneath the car. But guess what? They were charged for the T-Tech service anyway. And it was happened to them again at another Jiffy Lube. In fact, five out of nine L.A. Jiffy Lubes cheated people. I mean, how do you check that? And the insider, the Jiffy Lube insider, said that the Jiffy Lube employees are on a quota system. They're pushed to sell a certain amount of repairs per car. And they say that with the big volumes of cars that come into these stores, there's really no way to do all of the repairs that they sell. So they're overselling it. But they're also taking the money for it too, aren't they? How did Jiffy Lube in L.A. respond to this? They said, well, we don't tolerate these problems. The district manager that was in the video are no longer working for Heartland Automotive, because that's who owns the owns 31 of the Jiffy Lubes in L.A. Five of the service center employees were, six of them are no longer working. Five of the service centers who were found to have been ripping off customers were closed for 2 days in May for quote-unquote retraining. Retraining. Jiffy Lube also said that they would put in place their own mystery shop program to ensure that all procedures and policies are properly followed. Over the next several months, video cameras and monitors will be installed at 31 Heartland Automotive-owned services so that customers can watch their services being performed. Further violations of the company policies could result in the revocation of franchise agreements. So my question is as well, if this happened at five of the nine Jiffy Lubes in L.A., why aren't these policies why haven't these policies been implemented at There are 2,200 Jiffy Lubes all across the United States. Why don't they all have these policies? 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
Excellent, as are you. You know, they can stay right here in St. Louis. I went to the Jiffy Lube on St. Charles Rock Road about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled up there and sat there till they opened because I wanted to have my oil changed. And this guy pulled in front of I pulled up in front of the place, and then when they opened, this guy behind me pulled in front of me to zip in, and he was a lighter expression. So they waited on him, and I was fussing about them waiting on him since I had been there first. They broke my, you know, when you unscrew the oil pan,
mm-hmm.
they stripped it. They stripped
wow.
it. They stripped it. You don't have to go there. I just changed my oil yesterday. I don't let people touch my car because these Jiffy Lubes and these quick things, you're not getting what you think you're getting.
And the issue is, one of the issues is how do you
be a educated consumer.
There you go.
You got to be. Got to listen to you and do all the research you can do.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, the Jiffy Lube. They aren't really licensed mechanics. They're basically just oil change specialists, and you don't even really have to go to school. So I wouldn't recommend anybody going to Jiffy Lube for anything because the technicians are not licensed mechanics. And also, what are they going to do about reimbursing the millions of dollars that they rip people off of?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, somebody needs to file a class action lawsuit against them because there's no telling how many people they've done that to.
How do you prove it?
That's another question because obviously, I don't know. You're a lawyer. What do you think of settlement?
How do you force them into doing it? You know, they would say that it was just those people at that time, and it didn't happen to everybody. How do you prove it?
Right, that's kind of hard. I have to look to see if they have any these mechanics license up on the wall. You know, a lot of times mechanics they have their licensing. What they certified in,
mm-hmm.
and I bet you Jiffy Lube doesn't have a lot of people that certified in much.
All right now.
All right.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you? You know, I went to Jiffy Lube, like the caller before me, about 10 years ago. I stopped going. After I got my oil changed and had them to flush my radiator, oh my God. A couple of hours after I left, my radiator started smoking and steaming, and they swarping down it. They didn't do anything that would have caused my radiator to do that. So I'm with you. How do you prove that they have done you wrong at their establishment, other than I just tell everybody, don't go to Jiffy Lube? So I'm thinking word of mouth.
I think the last caller made a good point in terms of the if these people are mechanics. You know, you go to places where there are mechanics. I have
right.
my car serviced at the dealer.
I don't think any of the young guys that are there are mechanics, or maybe they're mechanics in training.
If that. Thank you very much.
God, thank you so very much. Have a blessed day.
You too. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about Rachel Corey, an activist that was killed in protesting and acting against what's happening to the Palestinians. She was killed by a caterpillar, a bulldozer. Caterpillar bulldozers are killed her and are destroying lives in Palestine. Huh. What should we be doing? What is happening with that? Should Israel still be doing business with them? We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. Join us.
Some very bad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches,
there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush is looking over a plan that would slowly reduce the number of U.S. troops in Iraq starting this fall, but there are still a lot of ifs to the proposal, which comes from the commander of U.S. forces there, General George Casey.
At the Pentagon last week, Secretary Rumsfeld made it clear deep reductions are not a sure thing. In fact, troop levels could temporarily go up. Under the best-case scenario, General Casey has told his superiors that the number of U.S. combat troops could be cut in about half by the end of next year.
ABC's Jonathan Carl at the Pentagon. It's hot, it's humid, and it's raining, and those are not exactly the conditions you want to be without electricity. That's what's happening today in Fairfax City, Virginia.
The wind was actually around 4 or 5 o'clock this morning, so I could get some cross ventilation and then close them quickly around 7 o'clock when it got steamy.
It's just one of the places hit hard by strong storms for days.
Here in southern Maryland and northern Virginia, several people were evacuated from their homes. Dozens are out. And in Baltimore, just a bit north of here, the rain was so heavy it broke an 1872 record for one-day rain total.
ABC's David Curley in Edmundston, Maryland. It's still hot and dry across much of the West, which isn't helping for wildfires burning in a number of states. One of the biggest is in northern Nevada. It shut down two sections of Interstate 80. The Pacific Northwest, sweltering today. A heat wave could push highs in Washington State to near 100 degrees. Their names are synonymous with big money and lately how to give it to charity. Businessman Warren Buffett meets with Microsoft founder Bill Gates today in New York City, just days after Buffett's big announcement.
The decision to donate 85% of his fortune to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation came as a bit of a surprise. Now, the two men are bridge partners and friends. Buffett has been impressed with the work Gates has done worldwide with AIDS, malaria, and TB.
ABC's Lisa Colagrossi in New York. Gas prices down just a little. Latest Lundberg survey says the average price now $2.89 a gallon. This is ABC News.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
When someone goes missing, there is only one team to turn to.
When was the last time you saw him?
The Missing Persons Unit.
Nobody's seen him in 3 days.
Without a trace, now every weeknight on TNT. Before they can find out where they are, they have to find out who they are.
Does she have any enemies?
From executive producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
Where is she?
Without a trace, tonight, 7, 6 Central on TNT. Then see why the original is still the best. Don't miss Law & Order at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
It may be the other white meat, but can it also be the leanest? ABC's Richard Cantu takes a look at some big changes to pork.
A lot of people may think skinless chicken breast is the leanest of meat, but government research paid for by the pork industry says different. Agriculture Department analysis finds 3 ounces of cooked pork tenderloin has less fat and calories than the same amount of skinless chicken breast. A spokeswoman for the National Pork Board, which came up with the Other White Meat campaign, says the notion that pork is just as healthy as chicken is going to blow the socks off some people. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Actress Nicole Kidman is a married woman again. She tied the knot with country singer Keith Urban over the weekend in their native Australia. Father Paul Coleman officiated the Roman Catholic ceremony.
When she started to walk down, it looked so translucent. It was a beautiful sight, and it took my breath away, and it took the breath of Keith away and most of us.
It's Kidman's second marriage, Urban's first. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News update. This report is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Transportation. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, supporters of Governor Matt Blunt are firing back after the Missouri Democratic Party accused the governor of trying to gain control of the investigation into the breach of Ameren's Tomsock Reservoir. Doyle Childers, the director of the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, says the governor's role in the investigation is legitimate. The Democrats say Blunt wants to protect Ameren because his brother is an Ameren lobbyist. Childers says if anyone is taking advantage of the investigation, it's Attorney General Jay Nixon, who accepted a campaign contribution from Ameren. In other news, 20 local families will soon be getting new homes thanks to Habitat for Humanity. Construction began over the weekend on the first of 20 Habitat homes in the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood. The homes will be built along the 2700 blocks of Bacon and Coleman and in the 3200 block of St. Louis Avenue. Some big changes are coming to Fair St. Louis this year. Among the changes are a shortened event and moving the fair off of the arch grounds. Missy Slay, the executive director of the event, says people should not see this as shortening Fair St. Louis, but extending a summer-long celebration that includes Live on the Levee. Fair St. Louis will be held July 1st and July 4th. Jason Mraz performs Saturday, and Hootie and the Blowfish take the stage July 4th. Both concerts will be followed by a fireworks display. And finally, the Humane Society of Missouri is warning pet owners to protect their dogs and cats from fireworks. Melinda Fleming, the Humane Society's Assistant Director of Veterinary Services, says dogs and cats' ears are more sensitive to loud noises. She says to keep your pets inside and turn on a TV or radio to muffle the noise of fireworks. Pets also need to be kept away from fireworks because if they chew on the fireworks, the pets could be poisoned or injured if the fireworks explode as well. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by the Missouri Department of Transportation. Traveling I-44 through the city of Eureka? Check real-time traffic information at I-44Eureka.com. The difference is you. Drive smart. Arrive alive. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. 270 westbound at Lindbergh. Look for an accident. Stop and go traffic all the way from Highway 367. 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. Look for two lanes closed to stop and go traffic from Illinois 203. Stop and go traffic from 270 northbound at Tesson Ferry all the way into Big Bend. Look for some delays there as well. 64 at 25th and 5570 split. Look for slow traffic going on there as well as 40 at 141 in Mason. You've got slow traffic there. Route 3 from Monsanto Avenue onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect some delays this hour. 44 at Bowles and 270. Look for some slow traffic there. Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for some delays. And 40 from McCausland on the Hanley. You've got slow traffic as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program, a resource for preventative vehicle maintenance with a focus on air quality improvement at the web at gatewaycleanair.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, chance of showers this afternoon, high around 80 this evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, low around 60. Tuesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers, high near 80. And Wednesday, partly sunny, another chance for showers. The high should be in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 64 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of things to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And, I don't know. I think that it is important to talk about the things that happen in this world. It's important to talk about the impact of those things on us. In 2003, March, I believe it was, 2003, Rachel Corrie was killed in the Gaza Strip. She was run over by a Israeli bulldozer manned by two soldiers. The bulldozer, it's a caterpillar bulldozer. What happened to the men that were driving the bulldozer? What happened to, is the use of the caterpillar bulldozers significant? I mean, what does caterpillar have to do with Palestine? Is this something that needs to be done? We need to talk to someone about this. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining us from Chicago, organizer and co-founder of Stop Cat, Matt Gaines, to talk about the Stop Caterpillar Coalition. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Matt, can you talk to us about, can you give us a little background of Rachel and what happened to her?
Sure. Mitchell was a college student at Evergreen University out in Washington State, who, after the attacks on September 11th, started to get more politically involved and started questioning things going on in the world. And her political activism led her to an organization called the International Solidarity Movement. They're a group that sends people from around the world to Israel and Palestine to nonviolently work for peace, to try and prevent home demolitions, help get Palestinians through checkpoints, help get medical and relief supplies into the territories that are under curfew. So in March of 2003, Rachel was working in Rafah in the Gaza Strip, and she had been living in the home of a local Palestinian pharmacist who had several young children. And on the 16th, they had been working all day basically with three IDF, that's Israeli Defense Forces, bulldozer drivers who had been destroying homes in the region and digging up land. And the bulldozers started to come towards the house where she had been staying, so she went to stand in its path. And the events are disputed as to how they unfolded, but it basically ended up with Rachel being crushed to death underneath the Israeli Defense Forces bulldozer.
And how many homes have, how long has Caterpillar been involved in the demolition of homes in Palestine and along the Gaza Strip?
Since 1967, actually.
And as a result of Rachel's death, a lawsuit was brought?
That's correct. The Corey family sued Caterpillar claiming that they are responsible because they had prior knowledge of that their equipment was being used in the commission of war crimes, and they failed to take any action to address that issue.
And the war crime is?
The war crime is collective punishment. You are not allowed to collectively punish a population under occupation, and with more than 12,000 homes demolished, you know, Israel itself only claims that around 3% of those demolitions have anything to do with terrorism or militants. So 97% are just collective punishment against the Palestinian people.
And that is a war crime.
Correct.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Matt Gaines, organizer and co-founder of Stop Cat. He's joining us from Chicago. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us for more of this discussion about Rachel Corrie and Caterpillar.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
Does it concern you that Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have been ripped off? Families USA is out with a new report that says drug makers raised the price of the 20 most prescribed drugs for seniors before Medicare Part D took effect, then lowered them to some degree afterwards, leading the Bush administration to brag about how wonderful Part D was in saving seniors big money. You've got to hear the mess behind Part D, Tuesday morning at 7, when Ron Pollack of Families USA joins Liz Brown here on The Wake Up Call.
Listen to the How Good God Is radio broadcast with Pastor Charles Hilton every Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at WGNU Radio 920 AM dial.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming, this one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Matt Gaines. He is an organizer and co-founder of Stop Cat, and that is Stop Caterpillar Coalition, and he's joining us from Chicago, and we're talking about Rachel Corey and what happened to her and the connection with the Caterpillar Corporation. Matt, recently there was a protest at the Caterpillar annual shareholders meeting. What was the purpose of the protest?
Well, the purpose of the protest was basically to highlight what was going on inside the meeting, and that was that our coalition, working with Jewish Voice for Peace and the Israeli, or the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation, had approximately 15 people go in as shareholder proxies to promote a shareholder resolution calling for Caterpillar to separate its chairman of the board from CEO position. So our demonstration outside was to, you know, publicize our view on Caterpillar and its role in the occupation, and to highlight what was going on inside the meeting.
And what is the status of the lawsuit?
Well, the status of the lawsuit brought by the Coreys is that it's currently in the appeals court. It was initially dismissed, and the Coreys and their legal team have appealed, and that's where it stands today.
Israel would maintain that the home demolitions are necessary to protect Israel from terrorists. What would you respond? How would you respond to that?
Well, that's what they used to claim, and in fact, they've rescinded that claim and have somewhat slowed their policy of collective punishment. They used to have a policy of demolishing the family homes of militants and suicide bombers. They've actually rescinded that policy because they've had to admit that that just doesn't work. But my response would be that, you know, more than 50,000 Palestinians have been made homeless by these demolitions. They are creating many more terrorists than they could possibly be stopping or dissuading from committing terrorist acts.
What is it that you all are asking Caterpillar to do?
Well, we're asking Caterpillar to reconsider its sales to the Israeli military while their equipment is being used for illegal purposes. In past years at the shareholder meeting, we have put forward a resolution not calling on Caterpillar to end the sales, but calling on Caterpillar to set up an independent board of inquiry to determine what their role is and whether they could end the sales and whether it would make an impact, et cetera. And those resolutions have been defeated.
Do we know how much money Caterpillar makes from the sale of their bulldozers to Israel?
We really don't, and we've been trying to find out for several years, believe it or not. We have not been able to get the transparency from Caterpillar. We have tried filing Freedom of Information Act requests. We've tried working through representatives from the U.S. House of Representatives, and those facts and figures are very hard to come by.
How has it been trying to enlist the cooperation or the help of our Congress in getting to the bottom of this? Have they been very forthcoming or participatory?
Some Congress people have, but most haven't. I mean, the U.S. Congress, as you may know, is you know, I would say is very, very biased towards Israel. And so investigating any alleged wrongdoings, you know, committed by Israel is very difficult. But there have been a couple. I'm having trouble thinking of their names at the moment. But they have offered their help but have come up empty-handed.
Now, in terms of the amount of money that is spent on these caterpillar bulldozers to go to Israel to destroy Palestinian homes, is this, should we be concerned about this because this is our money? Have we been able to make the link that this is our taxpayer, these are our taxpayers' dollars going to this?
Yes, we actually can make that link. What we do know is that this Caterpillar equipment are sold as weapons through the U.S. Foreign Military Sales Program.
What do you mean, as weapons?
They are sold under the same classification as a jet fighter or a bomb through the military sales program. Now, we've been unable to find out exactly what that means. I mean, are they just the regular construction bulldozers? Are they made to higher specifications? We know that Israel itself is the one armoring the bulldozers and putting on the machine gun turrets and readying them for war. But we know for sure they are sold as weapons through this military sales program, and they are often part of the U.S. aid package to Israel. So we are paying for at least a portion of these bulldozers going to destroy Palestinian homes.
If it is determined that these bulldozers, something is done differently to armorize these bulldozers by Caterpillar, or to make it easier for Israel to armorize these bulldozers, does that make the case?
It definitely supports the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, it supports the case that these are not bulldozers being used for construction. These are bulldozers being used in war and for destruction, and of course we would say for war crimes.
On another note, there is a play on Rachel Corrie that's supposed to open in off-Broadway this in October, I think.
That's correct. I believe it's called Rachel's Words, and it's made up of Rachel's emails and events from early in her life through her death in Gaza.
What do you make of the fact that it has been difficult for that play to open here in America? Does that make your case in terms of the challenges that even in death that is difficult for Rachel to have her words?
Yes, I mean, I think it does definitely illustrate the trouble that activists have seeking even hand from the U.S. on this issue. I think it might have had a better time opening in Israel than it did in New York.
And I think most Americans would find that very surprising. Or do you think they would?
I think most Americans probably would. I think anyone who's worked on this issue politically probably wouldn't.
How can people find out more about this, Matt?
They can go to the campaign website, which is www.catdestroyshomes.org.
And what can an individual do? Is there something that an individual can do?
Well, right now we are writing letters and making calls to the Caterpillar Corporation. We're urging local governments and local businesses and universities to not use Caterpillar equipment and make sure and let them know why. We're asking citizens to visit Caterpillar dealerships and talk to them about the issue so that they're aware of it, because it has an effect on their business as well. So there is lots that individuals can do. If you visit the website, you can find more contact information, look up cat dealers near you, etc.
Matt Gaines, organizer, co-founder of Stop Cat, thank you so much for joining me on the wake-up call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. 270 westbound at Lindbergh. Look for an accident. Stop and go traffic from 367 all the way in. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop and go traffic from Illinois 203. That's resulting of two lanes closed for paving operations going on. Slow traffic from 270 northbound from Tesson Ferry to Big Bend. Slow traffic at 64 westbound at 25th all the way into the 5570 split at this hour. Eastbound 40 at 141 in Mason. Look for slow traffic northbound northbound Route 3 at Monsanto all the way onto the approaches of Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays there. 44 eastbound from Bowles to 270 looks good. the King Bridge from the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for some delays there. Eastbound 40 is Spady and McKnight. Look for some delays as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's Tasty and Hearty Bacon, Egg, and Cheese Breakfast Burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's Classic Tots or Fries and regular coffee or drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy. Chance of scattered showers this afternoon, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy. Showers possible with a low around 60. Tuesday, partly cloudy. Chance of showers, high around 80. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents Ford Family Sunday on July 2nd from 1 to 4 p.m. Children are invited to explore the invented worlds created by artists in the exhibition Remote Viewing. The kids can then use these works as inspiration for their own innovations in painting and drawing. Admission is free. For more information, call 314-721-0072. Something for you from WGNU.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU, 920 AM.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Next, on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get to me. There are a couple of things that are going on out east besides the rain, besides the deluge, the flooding that's happening in Washington, D.C. and the surrounding areas. What would Pat Robertson have to say about that? What does that mean, all the flooding that's going on out there? a couple of other things that are going on. There's an article in the New York Times from today, an article about a guest that has appeared on the wake-up call. In fact, the day after he announced his candidacy, this man appeared on the wake-up call, Jonathan Tassani. He was on the wake-up call. Who was he? He's the man that's running against Hillary Clinton. He's gathering signatures to get on the separate September 12th primary ballot. He's trying to give Hillary Clinton a run for her money. And what's interesting is that the same thing is going on in Connecticut. Joe Lieberman is getting a run for his money by a millionaire who says that Joe Lieberman's position on the war and attachment to this party at the expense of other Democrats is reason why he should lose his job as a United States Senator. Hillary Clinton, while nobody is projecting that Tassani has the money to beat Hillary Clinton, they're saying that the political world is feeling his effect. Check this out. 74% of registered Democrats in the state told pollsters that they thought favorably of Hillary Clinton. However, Hillary Clinton's approval rating has fallen since May, since he has been in the race. And also check this out. He forced the Democratic Party in New York to do something that they hadn't planned on doing. Tassani recently went on a 600-mile bike ride to gather 2,500 signatures for the anti-war resolution he introduced at the state Democratic Party convention. As it turned out, at the state Democratic Party convention, party leaders worked furiously to block the resolution from going to the delegates to vote in order not to embarrass Clinton. And what does that say about the Democratic Party? What does it say about the concerns that we should have about a party that professes to be the progressive voice? What Tassani said was, for the Democratic Party not to want to debate the most important issue of the day, how could you not want to debate the Iraq war? What is the party afraid of? The Village Independent Democrats voted overwhelmingly to endorse Tassani. Hillary, they say, has really disappointed their base. She has forgotten her New York liberal following and basically abandoned us. Now, what is interesting is the same struggle is going on in Connecticut. Last week, as you may recall, the Democrats put up a proposal to get us out of Iraq. They were split. There were two different types of proposals. Now, most Democrats voted for one or both of the proposals. Lieberman was one of just six Democrats who backed Bush's position on both measures. Who were the six Democrats? Minnesota's Mark Dayton, who's not seeking re-election this year, and four Democrats who represent Republican-leaning southern and western states, Mary Landrieu. Now, remember when folks had black people just pushing black folks to vote for Mary Landrieu? Arkansas's Mark Pryor, Florida's Bill Nelson, and Nebraska's Ben Nelson. Bill and Bill. Bill and Ben. There were just 6 Democrats that voted with the Republicans on this. Even Republican Lincoln Chafee, who is facing an aggressive challenge from his conservatives and his own party's primary this summer, voted for the Reid proposal, which called on Bush to begin a phased redeployment of U.S. forces in Iraq, from Iraq. Now, what is interesting about Lieberman's position on this, Lieberman was unwilling to break with the Republicans at all. He said he didn't want to tie Bush's hands. Lieberman joined most Senate Republicans in refusing to provide any check, any balance, anything, any effort to try to stop this administration's war making. That's Lieberman for you. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. In fact, Lieberman has wedged himself in so tightly. He has bonded himself so much to Boy George's position that the Democrats refused to allow him to, they didn't give him any floor time to discuss his position. That's how far the Democrats have gone. How far do the Republicans go? The Republican Armed Service Committee Chairman John Warner, senator from Virginia, introduced Lieberman and allowed Lieberman to speak. Isn't that something? And Lieberman was the first Democrat to back Bush's position. And, of course, the Republican John Warner heaped huge, big-time praise on the Connecticut Democrat. So did Rick Santorum, who's probably the most enthusiastic supporter of the biggest warmonger that there is. Doesn't have a drop of blood in this fight, but's willing to spill others. How is Lieberman's opponent doing? Well, his name is Ned Lamont. Ned Lamont is saying it's time to build a Democratic coalition to establish and stick to a plan to end the war. Stay the course is not a strategy for real victory, and it's time for George Bush and the Congress to recognize the fact and take the steps needed to ensure the safety and security for the entire region and for America. Huh. Lamont's poll numbers are rising quickly. Rapidly is another word that they're using to describe him. And guess what? Lieberman has not ruled out the fact that the possibility that if he loses this, if he loses the Democratic primary, he may run as an independent. But check this out. In order to run as an independent, he has to get signatures to get on the ballot. And check this out. He has to get the signatures. They are due like a week after the results of the Democratic primary. So in essence, Joe Lieberman would have to be gathering signatures while he's running for the primary. And what kind of message is that about whether you think you're going to win or whether you think you're going to lose? A week to gather that many signatures is going to be most would say, an impossibility. The Republicans sure would want him on that ballot. The Republicans would sure want him on that ballot to split the Democratic part, to eliminate the possibility that a Democrat would maintain that seat. You know what? I don't think I've been in this position before. Maybe the Republicans are right. If Joe Lieberman decides to run as an independent, because he lost the Democratic nomination for the United States Senate, lost to Ned, if he lost to Ned Lamont, I guess he would be a sore loser. I guess he would be. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
And we'd like to invite you to join us on The Design Life every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
We hope you'll join us as we talk about designing your life to achieve success and fulfillment.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lwanga Center.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Check out Awaken to Yourself, Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, where we talk to artists and professionals about ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The Army has raised its recruiting age for the second time in the last 6 months. The increase to age 42 pertains to both men and women, and older applicants can get the same enlistment bonuses and incentives as any other age. A spokesman for the Pentagon says expanding the age will provide a bigger recruiting pool. The increase will also apply to the active military, the reserves, and the National Guard. The age extension only applies to the Army. The Marines and Air Force will keep their top age for enlistment at 27. The Navy's goes up to 35. And Dateline Washington. The federal government has quietly been keeping tabs on the financial records of millions of Americans. This program, a collaboration between the CIA and the Treasury Department, is being done under the power the President says he has to fight the war on terror. Vice President Dick Cheney mentioned the program at a luncheon in Chicago last week, saying it's a good, sound program, and then he took the media to task for even bringing it up in the first place. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
The Smash Band will take part in the Kemp Summer Concert Series on Thursday, July 6th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at the Kemp Auto Museum. Admission is $5 per person. No food or coolers, please. Espino's Mexican Bar and Grill will serve up cuisine al fresco, and a full-service cash bar will be available. Limited seating will be provided, and lawn chairs are acceptable. For more info, call 636-537-1718 or email allison@kempautomuseum.org. News to you from WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Speechless. See, I don't know what to say to you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to take some time this morning to thank everybody who came out to see the movie Loose Change as part of the Urban Institute. We had about 200 people or so there. It was a fabulous, 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 fabulous turnout. Very excited to be part of it. And it was really cool to be in a group of people as we're watching this movie and to hear people say, all of the different all the different statements that people made and the different responses that people had to the information that the movie Loose Change provided. It was really, really, it was wonderful. I want to thank you all for coming out and being part of the Saturday Morning Urban Institute with Irene J. Smith and myself. We'll have some copies of the movie Loose Change for you all to take and to take a look at this Saturday at the Saturday Morning Urban Institute. At the Urban Institute, the address is 1020 North Taylor, and the time is 9 o'clock Saturday morning. You need to be there. Did y'all hear about this? That an empty coffin with a military seal was found in the desert south of Tucson on Saturday. Deputies are looking for the body. Forensic investigators took DNA samples. A nationwide alert was issued in the hopes of finding who had been in the coffin. Deputies were called to the desert area near Interstate 10 after two people playing paintball discovered the coffin. The coffin was metallic silver with the United States Army insignia on it. And they're saying they don't have any concrete information about where this body came from. Isn't that something? You know, isn't that something? A empty coffin with a military seal was found in the desert south of Tucson. And they said that the coffin had a smell to it, so it was clear that there was a body recently in it. What are we coming to? If this is a story that's a teeny tiny little story in today's New York Times. Teeny tiny. You think we'll be able to follow up on this? You think we'll be able to follow up on this? You think we'll hear any follow-up on this? 1-877-920-WGNU. And maybe this is just the cynic in me. Maybe this is just, I don't know. I'm just, why is this a front-page story? Buffett to give the bulk of his fortune to another billionaire. Why is this even a story? Warren Buffett, one of the world's wealthiest men, plans to donate the bulk of his $44 million to another billionaire. So, you know, one billionaire giving his money to another billionaire, and they call that giving money away. No. Giving money away would be giving it to, I don't know, a homeless shelter. But giving billions of dollars to another billionaire, doesn't, in my book, really measure up to giving it away. He plans to give away 85% of his fortune, about $37 billion, all in stock. And all of that will be channeled, the greatest amount of it is $31 billion into the Gates Foundation. The Gates Foundation is dedicated to improving the health and education, especially in poor nations. It's already the United States' largest grant-making foundation. Okay, I understand that this does have some news value. But my question is, how does that end up on the front page of the paper? One billionaire giving his money or passing his money on, because that's really a better way of describing it, passing his money on to yet another billionaire. Maybe charity just doesn't feel the same way that it used to feel. That doesn't feel like charity. Maybe that's what it is. That doesn't feel like charity. The kind that our parents tried to raise us on of what you're supposed to do for charity. Billionaires passing it on to other billionaires doesn't feel like charity. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe this should be a campaign issue, folks. Maybe this should be a campaign issue. Everybody, all of these Republicans have gathered, pulled rank. Is that what it's called, pulled rank? Around the issue of the war. We did it, we proud of it, and we ain't stepping away from it. Yeah. Okay. Y'all have invoked 9/11 so many times. Y'all have crawled up on the bodies of all those dead Americans that were killed. You have made a cottage industry in milking 9/11 for all of its monetary and emotional value. Since you've milked this issue so much, now it's time to give back a little bit, isn't it? I'd like to hear you all talk about the what is going to be done for James Zagrona. Who is James Zadroga? I'm sorry, James Zadroga? Huh. You know who he is? He's dead now. You know who he is? I told you he's dead, right? He's one of the first responders, the first worker to die after working at Ground Zero on 9/11. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I wanted to comment on the Buffett piece that came out this morning.
Yes.
The way it was reported somewhere else was that he's breaking a precedent of giving his money away after death. And the way I took it is that he decided to give it to Bill and Mrs. Gates because he felt like for their foundation, he didn't put it into their personal.
Oh, I know, and I did say that it goes to their foundation. Absolutely, it's still. Why is this a front page story?
Oh, okay. Why is it a front page?
Yeah.
Story?
Why is this a front? I'm not saying it doesn't have. It's on the front page of USA Today. It's on the front page of the New York Times. It's on the front page of the Investors Weekly. It's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. I mean, I even understand Wall Street Journal. Why is this a front page story?
Great question, Liz. I didn't get that. I just thought he was saying he was giving it to Bill Gates because he's smarter than he is and he knows he's going to be gone sooner and he thought he could use it better.
Billionaire to another billionaire. Why is it on the front page?
I don't know.
Take care, Barbara.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. Stay with me. I'll be back after the news.
You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is you in the room. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. We could hear from the Supreme Court as early as today on a closely watched, much debated case involving detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. At issue is if the Bush administration can order suspected terrorists be tried before military tribunals rather than in criminal court.
Increasingly what you're seeing is a battle between the officials and authorities here at Guantanamo Bay and defense lawyers who say they are shocked at what is going on down here. The officials here flatly refute that there is any kind of mistreatment of detainees, and you increasingly see a real tension.
ABC's Terry Moran at Guantanamo Bay. The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq has given the Pentagon a blueprint for future troop reductions in Iraq. But there are a lot of ifs in General George Casey's plan.
The general's plan hinges on a best-case scenario and involves only a modest reduction of 7,000 combat troops this year. That would still leave 120,000 combat and support troops in Iraq. The Pentagon had hoped to be down to 100,000 at year's end. If all continued to go well, Casey's plan would cut the 42,000 combat troops in Iraq in half by the end of 2007.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. It's still raining across much of the Northeast today. Days of wet weather have caused all kinds of problems. About 30 people were trapped in a rec center in Kensington, Maryland by rapidly rising water. Deputy Fire Chief John Thompson says they got lucky. They got out by boat. Storms are also blamed for power outages. They even stopped Amtrak service between Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. for a while earlier today. Andrea Yates is heading back to trial today in the murders of her five children. Her first conviction was overturned on appeal. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 18 points in early going. The NASDAQ is ahead by 9. This is ABC News.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
When someone goes missing, there is only one team to turn to.
When was the last time you saw him?
The Missing Persons Unit.
Nobody's seen him in 3 days.
Without a trace, now every weeknight on TNT. Before they can find out where they are, they have to find out who they are.
Does she have any enemies?
From executive producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
Where is she?
Without a trace, tonight, 7, 6 Central on TNT. Then see why the original is still the best. Don't miss Law & Order at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
The search is on for the owner of a military casket found in Tucson, Arizona over the weekend.
Two people playing paintball in a desert area off Interstate 10 found the casket, silver, metallic, with a U.S. Army insignia on it. The coffin was empty, but sheriff's investigators say evidence suggests that it had been inhabited recently. They took DNA samples and put out a nationwide alert, hoping to find the remains, they think, of a soldier. A deputy said Tucson has lots of cemeteries. It could be from anywhere. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
You know that stuff you use to keep the bugs out of your garden? Well, it may slightly increase your risk of developing Parkinson's disease. A recent study found a high number of Parkinson's patients were exposed to pesticides 10 years before their diagnoses. But the experts say there are a lot of other factors to consider, too. Wimbledon gets underway today, and this is going to be the last time Andre Agassi appears at the All England Lawn Tennis Club. He's retiring after the U.S. Open later this year.
I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU News.
This update of WGNU News is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Folston reporting. Taking a look at the news this hour, 20 local families will soon be getting new homes thanks to Habitat for Humanity. Kimberly McKinney, a spokesperson for Habitat, says the first of 20 homes being built in the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood began construction this weekend.
All of the families are low-income families with median incomes of 25% to 50%, all well-deserving of home ownership, but just needed that hand up that wouldn't have been provided for them in traditional home ownership means.
The 20 homes will be built along the 2700 block of Bacon and Coleman and in the 3200 block of St. Louis Avenue. The homes should be completed by the end of the year. In other news, charges are pending in a hit-and-run accident that killed a bicyclist in St. Charles County. The Missouri Highway Patrol says 47-year-old Jeremy Rolott died late Saturday afternoon when he was hit by a pickup truck that allegedly kept going afterwards. The pickup driver, a 38-year-old Overland man, was later arrested and is expected to face charges of leaving the scene of an accident. And finally this hour, West Nile virus activity in Illinois is ahead of last year's pace. Four more counties reported positive test results for the mosquito-borne illness last week. Mosquitoes are often associated with rainfall, but Lynn Haramis of the Illinois Department of Public Health says the hot, dry weather can actually increase the risk of West Nile virus.
The species that carries West Nile virus, the house mosquito, likes very dry, hot weather because it likes stagnant water. For example, when streams stop flowing because there hasn't been enough rainfall, or when ditches or street catch basins that hold water aren't flushed out because there aren't heavy rainfalls.
So far this year, 17 Illinois counties have reported West Nile activity. That's up from 14 counties at the same time last year. No human cases have surfaced in Illinois this year. And that's a WGNU News report brought to you by McDonald's. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dodge Dealers. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and Lindbergh, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. 44 on either side of 109. You can expect some delays as traffic's being switched to one lane. Two lanes are open in each direction going either way. Northbound 270 at 40 in Ladue, there's maintenance operations going on. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 at Park and the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic due to partial lane closures and paving operations. In fact, there are a number of construction area sites going on between St. Louis City and St. Louis County, so just use caution and give yourself a break. Everything else looks pretty good at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Dodge dealer. This June, choose how you want to save at your Dodge dealer. Grab 0% APR long-term financing on most Dodge vehicles or grab a huge cash allowance of up to $5,000. See your Dodge dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy today, scattered showers this afternoon, high around 80 this evening. Partly cloudy, scattered showers with a low around 60. Tuesday, partly cloudy, chance of showers, high around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 64 with some clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. A programming note, this hour's Mondays at 9 will be rescheduled for another Monday at a later date. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Does it concern you that Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have been ripped off?
Families USA is out with a new report that says drug makers raised the price of the 20 most prescribed drugs for seniors before Medicare Part D took effect, then lowered them to some degree afterwards, leading the Bush administration to brag about how wonderful Part D was in saving seniors big money. You've got to hear the mess behind Part D, Tuesday morning at 7, when Ron Pollock of Families USA joins Liz Brown here on The Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you say?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. On the way out, I was talking about something that really is heartbreaking. It really is. How do we have one person die already? A person that worked, that was a first responder on 9/11. How is somebody dead already? But someone is dead indeed. His name is James Zadroga. He's a New York City police detective. Before he died, he needed supplemental oxygen to breathe because his lungs were so scarred. In 2001, after the World Trade Center was attacked, he donned a paper mask and he worked at Ground Zero on rescue and recovery missions. 4 years later, this 34-year-old man lay dying. January, Zagroda fell to the bathroom floor. His father came into the room and found him. He still had his baby's bottle in his hand. Who found him? The grandfather. James Zagroda's grandfather. And he's now raising this little girl because her mother died 2 years earlier. James Zagroda, dead. An autopsy done by the New Jersey coroner said that James' death was due to dust from Ground Zero. He had never been a smoker. He had no previous history. problems. So how are we doing 5 years after, nearly 5 years after? How are the thousands of people doing now, 5 years later, nearly 5 years later? How are we doing? Are the same people that are posturing on the floor of the United States Senate, are those folks running to the aid of these men, that people that are dying? Or are we getting the same response from our good government that we got about Agent Orange and Gulf War Syndrome? It's all in your head. It's not in your lungs. It's in your head. Just breathe. Just breathe. What are the things that we should be concerned with as we look at this story? Federal safety oversight at Ground Zero. EPA said in a statement issued that they responded immediately as the events unfolded with the highest priority to protect the environment and the health of the people of New York. The EPA said we took more than 10,000 samples of air, water, and dust. We got more than 250,000 results. And we told them to wear protective gear. Why do we live in a country that people who have been exposed to this working in the most selfless way, at one of the what's being called one of the biggest tragedy of our nation, why do they have to sue? Why do they have to sue? Shouldn't this administration be shamed that anybody would have to sue? I'm Liz Brown. Taking a break. I'll be back.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Does it concern you that Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have been ripped off? Families USA is out with a new report that says drug makers raised the price of the 20 most prescribed drugs for seniors before Medicare Part D took effect, then lowered them to some degree afterwards, leading the Bush administration to brag about how wonderful Part D was in saving seniors big money. You've got to hear the mess behind Part D, Tuesday morning at 7, when Ron Pollock of Families USA joins Liz Brown here on The Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. Come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so
sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion, and you know I sure got mine. It's my world. Don't you come a messing with my world.
It's my world. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get back to me. We have much to talk about. Talking about the extraordinary place where we find ourselves in, that we find, where we find ourselves. People who were first responders, 9/11, are dying. One man has died, 34 years old. That means he was 30 years old on the day that the towers were hit. 30 years old. He's now dead. He leaves behind an orphan. 30 years old. How did he die? His lungs were scarred so profoundly that he couldn't breathe. He wasn't a smoker. He had no history. He died trying to breathe. What a horrible way to die. What a horrible way to die. We have people that are saying, Vinnie Forrest, a first responder, says he started having health problems after he worked at Ground Zero. In 10, 15 years, we'll be ghosts, he said. 42% of the people, there are new ailments that people are suffering. 44% throat irritation, 39% eye irritation, 37% dry cough, 33% sore throat, 18% low back pain, 15% rash, 13% dizziness. Our EPA said that it was fine for people to be there. I want you to feel what they said it was fine for people to be in. 1 million tons of dust rained down on the city and about 16 acres on 9/11. What did that dust have in it? Well, let's just talk about the smorgasbord of potential life-ending items. Can you breathe asbestos and live? Huh. Asbestos, Freon. You suck up some Freon and survive that. Carcinogens, that means cancer-causing stuff, folks. Concrete, what would filling your lungs with glass fibers do to your lungs? I'm just asking. I'm not a medical doctor. But I don't imagine they would be pink and healthy after that. Caustic fine cement dust. Sulfuric acid. These are teeny tiny particles. When you breathe deeply, embed themselves into your lungs. And I'm not just talking surface embedding. We're talking about deep embedding, deeply embedded. A lawyer in White Plains, New York, who represents about 8,000 people with health problems. They're suing their supervisors, they're suing the EPA, they're suing the Port Authority, contractors and others involved with the cleanup. He said more than 50 families have lost loved ones due to their Twin Towers work. It's gotten so bad that Vinnie Forrest, he's a first responder, said that we need to build a memorial to the people who die after having worked at Ground Zero. That's insane. Maybe I didn't get the memo. But is it part of the Republicans who've hopped on, who've ridden this 9/11 issue? Are they out there saying that these people should be compensated, or are they out there beating up on immigrants? Perhaps they need to take a picture of all of the immigrants that helped at the immigrant day laborers that were at Ground Zero on 9/11. Perhaps they should use them as the poster child for why they are in opposition to undocumented workers. Thousands of people are going to die. And this government isn't doing anything. This attorney says, every week I get one or two calls from a cop saying, what can I do for my wife and kids? I've just been diagnosed with leukemia. Or scardosis, an inflammation that creates scar tissue in the lungs. Now, there has been some financial assistance. A federal package that will help fund a health registry. $75 million for screening. Exams for and treatment for rescue and recovery workers. But some say that this doesn't begin to pay the staggering medical costs. An April study from the Centers for CDC found that more than half of the survivors reported new or worsening respiratory symptoms after the attacks. The EPA, in its defense, said, we gave paper masks, and we gave goggles, and we told people to wet yourself down. 22,000 respirators, 32,000 respirator cartridges. There were 40,000 people that worked. You gave out 22,000 respirators. I am not a mathematician, but as I dig through the depths of my mathematic knowledge and information, 40 is a bigger number than 22, isn't it? 40,000 is a much bigger number than 22,000. But, and again, I apologize. I'm being too hard on them. They are working right now as we speak on trying to get a constitutional amendment to protect the flag. God knows we'd hate the flag to die from scarred lungs, respiratory ailment. God knows we'd hate for the flag to have $50,000 worth of medical bills that it couldn't pay. God knows that the most pressing priority in front of the United States Congress now is whether or not somebody could wear an American flag sewn to the seat of their pants. That's important stuff. And I see why they voted themselves a raise. I do, because they are dealing with the pressing issues of this nation. Oh yeah. And don't let gay people get married either. Whew. Poof. I apologize. I just incapable of appreciating what's important. That's me. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Up-to-the-minute traffic updates can be heard at the top and the bottom of the hour during morning and afternoon drives. So if you need to know where to go, we'll tell you where to go. Right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU 920 AM.
Hail caller, away!
Folks, that's the Lone Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
Hi, this is George Cotton.
And this is Sol Wilson.
Hey, tune us in every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m.
for The Real Deal with George and Sol.
That's right, every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. We'll see you there.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Does it concern you that Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have been ripped off? Families USA is out with a new report that says drug makers raised the price of the 20 most prescribed drugs for seniors before Medicare Part D took effect, then lowered them to some degree afterwards, leading the Bush administration to brag about how wonderful Part D was in saving seniors big money. You've got to hear the mess behind Part D, Tuesday morning at 7, when Ron Pollock of Families USA joins Liz Brown here on The Wake Up Call. Real life. On the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Make me want to holler. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And while I joke about the focus of this Congress on the flag burning issue, it isn't a joke for real, because it may end up passing. It may end up passing. Check this out. And it'll be on a ballot somewhere near you in November. Check it out. Congress is attempting to pass a constitutional amendment to ban the desecration of the United States flag. So that means you couldn't burn a flag anymore. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The Senate is scheduled to take up the amendment this week. If the required two-thirds of senators vote to approve the measure, that will set off a lobbying frenzy in all 50 states. This could pass. This could pass. Where are we as a nation? Nobody's trying to pass a constitutional amendment to provide health care to every American. They're trying to pass a constitutional amendment that would ban people being able to burn the flag. This would be the 28th Amendment, and how would it read? The Congress shall have the power to prohibit the physical desecration of the flag of the United States of America. So, the photograph of George W. Bush autographing somebody's flag, he needs to be taken down, right? He has desecrated the flag. He needs to be charged with the crime. Now, what's scary about this is that it's on a fast track. It's on a fast track. It takes 67 senators to approve the constitutional amendment. The flag amendment is supported by 66 senators, including 14 Democrats. It's unclear whether there's the 67th senator to take this over the top. The House approved it 286 to 130. The Congress shall have the power to prohibit the physical desecration of the flag of the United States of America. So all those people that were at the World Cup, where they had red, white, and blue painted on their faces, where they were wrapping themselves around an American flag. They used an American flag as a, when it was raining. They had it on top of their heads. Desecration, right? Your desecration is my celebration. We can't have a flag as a patch on the seat of your pants. Suppose somebody had a flag that was a necktie, and they used that necktie to wipe their mouth. Is the creation of the necktie using the American flag, is that desecration? Is wiping your mouth desecration? Huh? Wiping your mouth with it? Article 5 of our Constitution states that after Congress approves an amendment, 3/4 of the states, that's only 38, must ratify it for it to become law. Because all 50 state legislators have endorsed the flag amendment in non-binding resolutions, this will move very quickly through the state ratification process. States have 7 years to ratify an amendment. The average time that it has taken to ratify the 20th, ratify an amendment in the 20th century was about a year and a half. State of Senate approval would send the flag issues to the states less than 5 months before November's elections. Most state legislators have wrapped up their 2006 sessions, but a governor could call them back for a special session to put this on the November ballot. Insanity. We are living in insane times. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, my call is just about what is the official flag? Is it the official Title IV flag, or is one of these knockoffs that they have in the courts, or?
I have no idea.
Well, that's the question that, you know, has got to be answered, because not every flag that you see is an official flag according to Title IV of the United States Code. And it's very specific on how it is, defined. It's not your military flags, the gold fringe flags, or the ones that are do not have the correct dimensions. So they could be in a lot of...
We could be in courts forever.
Right. I mean, but if they're going to do the official flag, that's a Title IV. And it's defined in Title IV of the United States Code. Thank you.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Richard Parker, a constitutional law expert at Harvard, says that the 1989 Flag Protection Act that was struck down by the United States Supreme Court would be a guide for writing new legislation. That law would have imposed criminal penalties on anyone who knowingly mutilates, defaces, physically defiles, burns, maintains on the floor or ground, or tramples upon the flag, which it defines as any flag of the United States or any part thereof made up of any substance of any size in a form that is commonly displayed. Huh. He says the laws would not apply to red, white, and blue tennis shoes, bikinis, or pictures of flags. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mary.
Liz, I'm telling you, you outdid yourself showing that movie theater. That was such an interesting documentary on the 9/11.
You're talking about Loose Change.
Yes, I am. It was really, it was so much I thought I knew from the beginning. I just, you know, I knew this didn't make sense the way that building was coming down from the plane, hitting it way up there, and where it came down. That was my common sense told me that. Then after listening to you and your show and reading, I discovered that, and you had that gentleman on, I forgot his name, that came on.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, and he really enlightened a lot of my suspicions about that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stood up and asked the question to your audience after you or Irene did it, after the movie was over, you asked how many people thought that the plane had knocked it down before the movie. And it was amazing to see nobody in the audience actually didn't know that that was not the way it came down even before the movie.
Amazing time. And I am so pleased. We had about 200 people or so.
Yes, and they were standing room only around there.
Yep.
But it was really nice. And we as black people, in talking to some white people and people I know, I find that we have so much more common sense than them about things, even when we don't read as much. Because I knew from reading and listening to your show that all the things that all the things that I had read and heard you say, the documentary didn't give us a whole lot of new information, although there was so much more I found out on a Saturday that I didn't know, and that was about the missing. A lot of things was brought to us didn't know.
It was an excellent movie, and the way that they tied it together was fabulous.
Liz, the one that was really a most interesting thing was what happened to the people on the real plane.
That's fact.
Did you know about that before Saturday?
Oh, I had watched before the film. I hadn't even thought about that. I hadn't thought about that. It was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much, Mary, for coming out.
I'm happy that I could make it. Right. Thank you for inviting us.
All right. Take care now.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call, Dave.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I tell you something that disturbed me. It's when I heard about this guy that was shot in Jennings for evading a checkpoint.
Mm.
Now, if that doesn't sound like Nazi Germany, are we becoming a dictatorship, a police state, or what?
All of that and above. Thanks, Dave.
You have a good one.
1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Miss Brown.
Fellow on the car phone.
Yeah, I want to follow up on the lady about Saturday. I thought that was great. I just hope we can do it again because everybody that saw that, I'm hoping they go out and tell their friends and who haven't seen the film and see it again because we really need to get the word out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what the whole thing, what I got out of all of this, and I always go back to 1963, because that's when it started not making sense. The stories that they put together don't make sense. That's why you come up with all of these conspiracy theories. And then they just went right down the line, and they continued to do it because Malcolm X assassination made no sense. The way it unfolded and what happened to him. The same way with Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, Fred Hampton, Mark Clark made no sense. Vietnam made no sense. Because it wasn't about what they said it was. You know, they weren't trying to help no Vietnamese. They could give a damn about them. That's why they killed 3 million of them.
Mm.
And 60,000 of our own people. Grenada made no sense. Iraq, the first war, made no sense. April Glassby told Saddam Hussein, That's a issue between you and Kuwait. We have nothing to say about it. When they were slant drilling the Iraqi oil fields, they told them, hey, it ain't got nothing to do with us. And what did George H.W. do? And I wonder how many people know that H.W. had something to do with the Kennedy assassination. He was in Texas.
Mm.
And the people who was a part of the Kennedy assassination, Gerald Ford, he was the perfect person for Nixon to pick to pardon him. Well, not many people know that. He was on the Warren Commission, which made no sense. Just like the 911 Commission list makes no sense. America has the capability of stopping airplanes. The whole time I was in the military, in the Air Force, that's what we was all about. Stopping the plane. We should have stopped those planes. They should have never reached the target. But it wasn't about that. It's because it was a lie in the beginning. And they continue to lie about it. And America needs to watch this film. Have a good one, Liz.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. The number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The Navy has launched an investigation to find out how Social Security numbers and personal information for some 28,000 sailors and their family members made it onto a private internet website. A Navy spokesman says there is no indication that the information was misused, but those involved are being told to check on all of their personal records. This is the latest in a batch of government computer data thefts. Last week, someone got into a computer at the Agriculture Department and accessed names and Social Security numbers from about 26,000 Washington, D.C. employees and contractors. The General Accounting Office also reported that about 1,000 names with personal information had been removed recently from its website. And Dateline Milwaukee, a story of significance you may have missed from last week. James Cameron, the founder of America's Black Holocaust Museum, died last week after a long illness at the age of 92. In August of 1930, he was falsely accused of taking part in the murder of a young white man in Indiana. He was 16 at the time. He and some of his friends were abducted by an angry white mob, resulting in several of them being killed and Cameron being severely beaten. He was the only known living survivor of a lynching. He wrote a book about the episode in 1982, which was titled A Time of Terror. He founded the Black Holocaust Museum in 1998, which documents racial injustices suffered by people of African descent. He spent his life fighting against racial injustice and discrimination. He founded several NAACP chapters in Indiana during the 40s, but had to move to Wisconsin in the early 50s because of constant death threats. Despite his lifetime of work, the case of his attempted lynching was never investigated, and no one was ever charged with the murder of his friends or his abduction and beating. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Does it concern you that Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have been ripped off? Families USA is out with a new report that says drug makers raised the price of the 20 most prescribed drugs for seniors before Medicare Part D took effect, then lowered them to some degree afterwards, leading the Bush administration to brag about how wonderful Part D was in saving seniors big money. You've got to hear the mess behind Part D, Tuesday morning at 7, when Ron Pollock of Families USA joins Liz Brown here on The Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Razur.
Yes, Liz. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
And again, let me also compliment you on the 911 Loose Change movie. It was very good.
Yes, it was.
Very informative. Listen, I listened to your documentation this morning concerning Mr. James Zagoda and his death. I'm wondering if it's possible if you could have a copy of that memo or document and all of its percentages concerning health and death this coming Saturday at the workshop. I'll be there Saturday.
Sure.
I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain to you then what it's about.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Thank you so much.
1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
I enjoyed your show. Listen, I would like to know what happened to those children whose parents were killed 9/11. And the other thing, I was wondering...
Okay, I can't hear you with that noise in the background.
Yeah, I was fixing my breakfast. I was wanting to know what happened with that baby that we saw that was trembling so in Oklahoma, that little black boy. It looked like a black boy that was trembling so when somebody was saving him from the Oklahoma bombing. And I want to know what happened to the children in New York whose parents were killed at 9/11. Nobody ever talks about them, and I'm sure there were some black children.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Much, much, much to talk about. I am just stunned at the things that are being done and the things that are not. Not being done. Congress moved to give itself a 2% cost of living raise. You get your cost of living increase? Did you get yours? Huh? Yeah, I guess a giggle means no. 2%. This has been the most do-nothing Congress in recent memory. They did nothing but fight. They did nothing but... anybody say Terry Schiavo? Can anybody say Terry Schiavo? All of the efforts and actions that they put... They've given us Terry Schiavo stuff. We need to pat ourselves on the back and give ourselves a 2% raise. What will their salary be? What will their salary be? $168,500. And you know what else these cowards are doing? They have tucked their pay raise into a bill that is being used to fund the Department of Transportation. Cowards. Cowards. Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I just want to make two quick points. One,
at the numbers where it's pretty pathetic, but Congress is actually rolling in at lower numbers than Bush. Bush is reining in about, what, 30% approval rating. Congress is even lower. So really they should have voted themselves a pay decrease.
Or they should have just stepped down.
Right.
You know, do no more harm.
I never heard of such a thing.
It's awful.
But
it's
what really discourages me, and I guess this is nothing I can seem to do about, but even though they're writing in those low approval numbers every year, year in and year out, we keep putting the incumbents back in.
It's not the fact that, because all incumbents, there are some individuals that didn't vote for this. There are some individuals that have been trying to do some good things. The problem is,
I thought they went like at the midnight hour, they just put it on the bill where they didn't even have to vote for. So that way they could...
No, it wasn't voted by all of the Congress. There were some people that voted against it, I believe.
I don't... Because the way I understood it, they didn't even vote on it. It was just... they snuck it into a bill.
It's tucked inside of the transportation bill. You're right.
They didn't have to vote on the pay raise. They just voted on that bill,
that was
included.
That is correct.
So I think that's pretty cheesy.
And here's what's happening, but that's with the House. Now, what's happening in the Senate is that people, Feingold and Clinton and Kennedy are trying to make the raise an issue. Feingold said that he will try and stop the pay increase. Kennedy has authored the bill that would tie increases in congressional pay to increases in the minimum wage. So there are some people in the Senate that are speaking out on it. But the fact of the matter is that the Congress, it happened.
Right.
It happened. And there should have been a press conference by those Congress people that are opposed to
this. Well, I'll tell you what. If they're going to give themselves that pay raise, then they should at least put themselves on the same Social Security that we are all on.
Fact. And the same health care plans.
Right.
Same health care plans. Thanks, Dan.
Take care.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Last year, the pay hikes for the Congress went into effect quietly. During the 90s, members voted five times to forego the automatic pay hikes. Members are saying now it's time to do so, especially given, the trillions of dollars that are going for the war and the trillions of dollars that are not going into the Katrina Relief Fund. How about those two things? Some people say that one congressperson says that the pay raise is justified. But like the last caller, what they should do is stand up in front of the American people and say, I'm worth more than $167,000. I dare you to say it. I double blue dog dare you to say it. I double yellow dog you to say it. That I deserve a cost of living raise increase of 2%. In 1975, you know how much Congress people got paid in 1975? $44,000 a year. $44,000 a year. In 1985, 10 years later, $75,000 a year. 1996, $113,000 a year. 2001, $145,000 a year. 2006, $165,000 a year. The pay raise that they gave themselves in 1996 in $2,000, they were earning about $172,000 a year. 2007, they're earning $168,500. That's the proposed amount. Are they worth it? How many ways can we say no? How many ways can we say no? No, let me make it clear. In a word, no.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Don't forget tonight, for Justice for Reggie, the regular Justice for Reggie campaign meeting will take place at Legacy Books. There will be a viewing of the film American Justice, that the segment that they did on the Chain of Rock tragedy. Legacy, what's the location? 5249 Del Mar. Drop off your completed petitions there as well. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Nope, I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Then stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this.